Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be joined by my buddy Cole Sheldon here to take you through the UFC Sao Paulo card this weekend. Cole, I noticed you're growing up in November. First time growing a mustache, man. I mean, it doesn't look too good, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, me and my friends having a competition who could be the best. I'm probably near the bottom, but
yeah, I don't think you're gonna win that, dude. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Not everyone can grow the mustache for me. I got to shave. Maybe I'll leave the mustache and all. Next week, we'll see. We'll compare who's got the better stash going on. But let's talk about UFC Sao Paulo, Cole. 12 fights on the card. It's in Brazil this Saturday. Just overall thoughts on the card before we break it down in full.
It's not a terrible card. There's some good fights on it. I don't know why some cards on the main card and some are on the prelims. Like, there's some – and then – there's that one questionable matchup that I'll talk about on the main card that I understand, but overall it's a pretty solid card.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right, let's get into it. Going to use Tapology for the bout order. First fight of the night, women's bantamweight bout, Tracy Cortez against Vanessa Mello. Opening odds had Cortez -185, Mello +145. Right now we have Cortez -185, Mello +160. So really no action on this fight. The odds have just tightened up a bit. Who's your pick?
I like Tracy Cortez here. I just wasn't impressed by Mello in her debut against Irene Aldana. I know it was only not even 2 months ago, so she is turning around pretty quick. Cortez obviously had that win on the Contender Series at flyweight. She was a bit bigger flyweight, so she is moving up to bantamweight. So I'm interested to see how she'll look. She might be the smaller fighter in there, but I just haven't been impressed with Mello in her career. I just think Cortez has momentum going, and she'll get a decision win here.
Yeah, this is a close fight. This one can go either way. I don't know, like Cortez, I know she had the win on Contender Series. I haven't been too impressed with her. I think her level of competition has been very, very weak, in my opinion. I guess she did look okay in that show. She's had some experience in Invicta. Mello, at least, I think, has fought decent competition, like Jan Finney, Molly McCann. She has wins over them. Her record's obviously not great, 10-6, but she has fought better level of competition. This is her fifth fight in 2019, so she's been quite active. She did lose to Aldana 2 months ago in a short-notice fight. She missed weight for that fight, but that's a tough fight for her to win anyways, even if she made weight. I'm going to take the dog here, Mello. I just think fighting at home is going to help her out a little bit. I think it's going to be a close fight, like most women's bantamweight bouts are. Goes the distance, and I think Mello edges out a very close decision. So my pick will be the dog here, Mello, but it's not a fight that I would honestly bet on, even though I am taking the underdog, because I do think she has a good chance to win. Next up, we have another women's bout. This is a flyweight bout between Ariane Lipsky and Veronica Macedo. Opening odds had Lipsky at -245. Oh, sorry. Actually, that's the wrong odds. My bad. I haven't updated my odds sheet yet. The opening odds had Macedo -130, Lipsky -110. I should mention Macedo's filling in a short notice for the injured Priscilla Cachoeira. Actually, not injured. She tested positive for USADA or something. Diuretic, I believe. So, opening odds slightly towards Macedo right now. Still slightly towards Macedo. -125, +105 for Lipsky. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a fight I just haven't been impressed with either, their runs in the UFC. Obviously, Lipsky had a lot of hype behind her, had so much success in KSW, and then she came to the UFC and had two really bad performances against Joanne Caldwell and Molly McCann. Macedo, though, hasn't had much success in the UFC either. She lost Ashley Evans-Smith, which isn't a very good loss, lost Andrew Lee and Jillian Robertson. Those are good losses to have. And then her last fight, she submitted to Pollyanna Viana really quickly. It's an interesting fight. I'll favor Lipsky slightly. I just think she's the better striker, and I think she can keep it on the feet, but it's not a fight I'd personally bet on just because they're both of them have been so inconsistent in the UFC.
Yeah, I do favor Lipsky as well. First off, she had a full camp. Macedo's taking a short notice. I still feel like Lipsky's showing she has untapped potential we haven't seen yet. She isn't so much in the UFC so far, but she had a lot of hype coming in, Cole. Now, some people have suggested she could have been taking PEDs just based on the fact that she hasn't performed as well as she was in KSW. I just think it's been a higher level competition in the UFC. Joanne Caldwell and Molly McCann, two very good fighters, so to me, I don't think that's a very founded comment, but I know some people have suggested that. Her run in KSW was really nice. I still think she has potential. She's got good striking. She's young, 25. Macedo's young too, 24. 1-3 record. Cole, haven't been too impressed. She did lose to, again, a couple of decent fighters, but just haven't been too impressed. I know her ground game's okay. You know, let's be honest here, Cole. This is a fight between two women that are probably on the roster because of their looks and not really what they show in the UFC. They're both two extremely good-looking girls, and that's why they're on this card. My pick is Ariane Lipsky to win a decision in what should be a pretty competitive fight, but it's not, again, not a fight I'd be crazy about betting, although I do think there is value on her as an underdog here. I thought she'd open as the favorite. Next up, we have a men's bantamweight bout. Actually, it's a featherweight bout between Hennin Burrell and Douglas Andrade. It's featherweight, right, Cole?
Yep.
Okay, so we got Hennin Burrell and Douglas Silva de Andrade. The opening odds had – apologies for the dogs, guys. I think someone's here at the door. It always happens right when the podcast starts. Douglas Silva de Andrade, minus 170. Hennin Burrell, plus 130 were the opening odds. The current odds have Douglas Silva de Andrade, minus 240, Hennin Burrell, plus 200. So the odds really are heavily in favor of de Andrade right now. Who's your pick?
I like Andrade here. I don't know why Hennin Burrell is still in the UFC. He's, what, on a five-fight losing streak, I think? Yeah, or four. Yeah, four. But he's, what, 2-7, I think, in his last nine. He hasn't looked good at all. Like, knockout to Luke Sanders, lost. The split against Andre Hill was a close fight, but then he lost to Brian Geller and Aljamain Sterling. And it's just his level of competition he's fighting is getting lower. Like, his last one was Luke Sanders, a guy that's on the borderline of even being on the UFC roster. And Andrade lost to Peter Yan last time out, and before that has a win over Marlon Vera. Like, he has a good win. I just favor Andrade here. I've really been fading Hennin Burrell for his past couple of fights, and I'll just continue to do it here. I think Andrade wins this fight. I don't know if he'll be able to finish Barrio, but it's going to be a dominant win, I think.
Yeah, I like the Andrade too. I think this guy's pretty underrated at 135 or even 145. Not a big guy by any means, but he gets the job done. He's got a good record, 25-3. He's fought good competition, obviously. His record in the UFC is 3-3, but he has that nice win, Cole, over Marlon Vera. That looks really nice right now. The losses to Yan and Font recently by a stoppage, those don't look too good, but those guys are solid fighters, so I'm not going to hold them too much against him. Hennin Burrell is not the same guy he once was. At one point in time, Cole, a lot of people thought he was, like, arguably the top pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan said he was. I always thought he was a really good fighter. I'm not sure if I thought he was the best in the world, but I thought he was a really good fighter. However, you know, USADA came in, and this guy's not the same. Like, let's just call it a fact, Cole. He's not the same guy. And he's not the same guy he once was before he fought T.J. Dillashaw and got his head kicked in a couple times. So I got to go with the Andrade here. I think he wins this fight. Probably wins by decision. That's how Burrell usually loses. But I wouldn't be surprised, Cole, if Andrade knocked out Hennin Burrell. I think this is going to be it for Hennin Burrell. He's 1-6 in his last seven fights. Surprised he's still on the roster, but I think this is it for him. I think this is the last fight he has in the UFC, and I really don't even know where he goes after this because it looks like this guy's a complete former shell of what he used to be. Next up, we have – I like this fight a lot. Welterweight bout between Worley Alves and Randy Brown. Really good fight here. We have Worley Alves open minus 180. Randy Brown open plus 140 right now. Alves minus 120, Brown plus 100. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a very interesting fight. Obviously, Worley Alves got the huge win over Sergio Moraes last time out. He has a massive win over Colby Covington, the only loss in Covington's record. On Randy Brown, though, he had a big win over Brian Barberina last time out. I thought Barberina was going to win that fight. Obviously, he has that weird knockout loss to Nico Price where he got knocked out on top. So it's an interesting fight. They're evenly matched. I just like the underdog and Randy Brown here. I'm just more impressed with them. I think he's the better striker, and I think this fight is going to stay on the feet for the most part. And it's going to be a close fight, but I think Randy Brown edges out a decision.
Yeah, I really like this matchup. Two guys that are really, really talented at 170. Always been high on Worley Alves. He looked amazing on the Ultimate Fighter Brazil. I guess he has lived up to the hype completely, but still, it's pretty solid. He has that win, Cole, over Colby Covington by submission. That looks really good. I know Colby was hurt in that fight, but still, that's a great win, man. You know, and he's looked really good. I was at his last fight, Cole. The fight with Moraes knocked him out with an uppercut. I was actually on that side of the cage. It was such a sick uppercut. This guy is extremely dangerous. Only 28 years old still, so it's still pretty young. And I think he's still actually getting better. I know he's had some rough patches, but I think he's really dangerous. Randy Brown, very talented as well, 29 years old, so pretty young as well. Coming off a great win over Brian Barberina. Looked really good in that fight. I will say this about Brian Barberina. I think he's taken a lot of shots in his career, and I think he's starting to finally show that. So you got to keep that in mind. And this guy has lost a few other fights, like the Nico Price fight, which worries me, Bilal Muhammad. But, you know, should be a close fight. I just think Alves is a little bit more talented as far as the striking goes, and I think fighting in Brazil is going to help him out here. Give me Worley Alves. I think he wins the decision, maybe wins by stoppage. Next up, we have a lightweight bout, another good fight here, Francisco Trinaldo against Bobby Green. Opening odds had Trinaldo at minus 165, Green plus 125. Right now we have Trinaldo minus 125, Bobby Green plus 105. So essentially close to a pick 'em with a slight lean towards Trinaldo. Who's your pick?
Yeah, very interesting that Bobby Green retired earlier this year and he's already back. You could just tell him maybe retirements don't last. Trinaldo's obviously coming up that very lackluster fight against Alexander Hernandez where not much happened. You could have gave the win to Trinaldo, could have gave it to Hernandez, could have went either way. Bobby Green's going with that loss to Jakar Close in end of 2018. I favor Trinaldo slightly. I just think fighting in Brazil, being a better strike, I think that's going to help him, but it's not a fight I bet on personally. They've just been so inconsistent. Trinaldo, his last fight didn't show much, so I don't know what kind of fighter he will be in this fight, but I'll pick Trinaldo by decision.
Yeah, this is a close fight for sure. I think it can go either way. Bobby Green is a very talented guy that unfortunately he's had a lot of injury issues and just issues outside the cage that really haven't allowed him to show off his potential. But at times he's looked amazing. Like he beat Josh Thompson. That was a big win for him. The Jacob Volkman fight was a huge win at the time. Looking back, obviously not a great win. But, you know, he's just a little too inconsistent, Cole, for me. 1-4-1 in his last six fights. That's not too good. And he doesn't fight that often, which I don't like. Trinaldo is really old, though. That's something to worry about here. He's 41. He's coming off a really bad fight against Alexander Hernandez. I think that did show his age in that fight. He just didn't do anything. It was a terrible fight. Some people thought he won. I thought it was a terrible fight. I didn't care he won. So to me, this is a guy that is under the climb at 41. But he does have some good wins recently, like Evan Dunham, Jim Miller, Paul Felder. Those are good wins. I got to go with Trinaldo here, Cole. I think fighting in Brazil again is going to help him out here a little bit, get the crowd behind him, either win a decision or possibly finish Bobby Green, although Bobby Green's pretty tough to finish. So I think Trinaldo by decision is the likely outcome here. Next up, this is another good fight. Featherweight bout between Ricardo Ramos moving up in weight against Eduardo Garrigori, one of the few undefeated fighters with a 13-0 record in the UFC right now. The opening odds had, where are the odds for this one? Ramos minus 215, Garrigori plus 165 at open. Right now we have Ramos minus 260, Garrigori plus 220. Who's your pick?
I don't know why the odds are so high. Like Ramos, I think Ramos is the better fighter, but he's moving up in weight. Garrigori's undefeated, coming off a win over Humberto Bandone in his debut. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like against Ramos and what Ramos looks like at featherweight, because to me, I don't think he seemed like a massive bantamweight. Like I thought bantamweight was the division for him. Earlier this year, he lost to Saeed Nurmagomedov with the body kicks and punches. I'm worried of what Garrigori's power is going to be like. I think the value's on Garrigori as this big underdog, but I think Ramos is the better fighter, so I'll pick him by decision. But if the odds keep on going up, I think there's a lot of value on Garrigori.
Yeah, I think the odds are a little bit too high as well on Ramos. He's definitely a good fighter. He's very talented. We've seen him look amazing at times in the UFC, like the fight on the UFC, the GSP and Bisping undercard, where he knocked out Amos Zahabi with a spinning back elbow. That was incredible. He wins over Kyungho Kang and Tanaka are pretty good as well. The loss to Nurmagomedov obviously wasn't a great loss. That was earlier this year. We bounced back with that win over Newsom. Garrigori did have the fight with Bandone. He looked good in that fight. He's undefeated. Again, 13-0, I think he's only behind Israel and Paulo Costa, I think, when it comes to undefeated fighters. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think if you look at his competition, quote, very, very weak competition, and I don't like that. So even though Ramos moving up in weight and the odds are high, I'm still going to pick him here. Ramos by decision is my pick, but the odds are a little bit too high, and I don't really see any value on him. Next up, we have another welterweight bout that should be interesting. Sergio Moraes against James Kroos, the James Kroos. Opening odds had Kroos minus 190, Moraes plus 150. Right now, we got Kroos minus 180, Moraes plus 160. Who's your pick?
That's an interesting fight. He's obviously James Kroos hasn't fought in over a year. He's the way better fighter, way better striker. Moraes is coming off that knockout loss to Warley Alvarez and the loss to Anthony Rocco Martin. It's an interesting fight. I favor James Kroos. I think he's just the better fighter. I think he'll edge out a win, but that layup kind of scares me. But Moraes' chin on the last fight, that was a brutal knockout. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like in this fight, but I think it's good to see James Kroos back. I think he gets a win here.
Yeah, you got to go with James Kroos. Sergio Moraes definitely getting up there in age. He is 37 years old now, coming off the loss to Warley Alvarez. That showed his age, I think, a little bit. The Rocco Martin fight as well. He has looked good at times, though. He has got a lot of good wins. He actually has a really good record in the UFC, Cole. So he's definitely a guy that gets the job done more often than not. I just think he's getting up there in age now and really on the decline. James Kroos, 33, a little bit younger. He's still a little bit older as well. He's been around a long time, fought in the WEC. Fought in the UFC for a long time, but on a nice win streak, called 5-5 win streak. So he's on a nice little winning streak, coming off a great win over Warley Alvarez, knocked him out. So the only thing that worries me is the layoff, 15 months. That obviously worries me coming to Brazil. That's never a good thing, but I just think he's a better fighter. I think he wins. I think James Kroos wins this fight by knockout or by decision. So give me the James Krause to win the fight. Next up, we have a middleweight bout, Marcus Perez against Wellington Turman. The opening odds had Perez minus 260, Turman plus 180. Right now, it's much closer. Perez minus 120, Turman plus 100. Who's your pick?
This is a very close fight and a very, like, it's a hard one to pick. Wellington Turman, obviously, coming off the UFC debut, a split decision loss to Carl Roberson that could have went either way. Marcus Perez coming off that really impressive submission win over Anthony Hernandez. But that was in February. Hasn't fought since February. So it's been quite a while, but I just think Perez has fought the better guys. He's the former LFA champ, has wins over like Ian Heinisch. I know he lost Eric Anders to lose the belt, but he just, to me, he's fought the better guys, fought, has better wins. I think this fight will go the distance. It's going to be a close fight, but I'll favor Perez slightly.
Yeah, this is a close fight. I'm with you, Cole. I think the odds were way too far at the open. Marcus Perez, he's a solid fighter, don't get me wrong. 2-2 in the UFC only, but I think he is talented, a little bit more talented than what we've seen. That win over Heinisch on in LFA was really good. He has a win over Paul Thiago, former UFC veteran. Alcantara, former UFC vet. Then the win over Hernandez was solid. But Turman, much younger here. 23 years old, Cole. So very, very young guy. And the fight with Roberson, honestly, was a close fight that I think a lot of people thought he won. And he has that win over Lyoto Marcio Alexander Jr., which was a solid win. And the guy has quite a bit of experience for a young guy. He has a lot of fights, 18 fights for a 23-year-old. So he's got more upside, I think, here. But Perez has fought better competition for the most part. And I've seen a little bit more of him, a little bit more proven. So my pick's Perez, Cole, but this is another fight that really can go either way, in my opinion. Speaking of fights that can go either way, and this one's a true pick-em fight, we have Antonio Arroyo against Andre Ruiz. The opening odds had them minus 120 apiece. Right now we have the odds basically a pick-em, minus 115 Muniz, minus 105 Arroyo, essentially a pick-em. Who's your pick in this one?
See, this is it's a good fight. I just don't know why it's on the main card. I think there's better fights that could be on the main card over this, but this is a very close fight. They're both very good on the ground. Both on the contender series got submission wins. If you look down the record, they have a ton of submission wins, ton of ground and pound wins. So it's going to be interesting if either of them want to shoot and try to get on top control, or maybe someone tries to pull guard and get on the bottom because they trust their ground game. It's going to be interesting. I think this one's going to stay standing, and I just favor Arroyo striking a bit more in this one. But if it goes down the ground, I wouldn't be surprised if Munoz gets a submission. It's a close fight, but I'll favor Arroyo getting a decision with this fight being on the feet for the most part.
I honestly think you could flip a coin and pick the winner. This is, in my opinion, like almost an impossible fight to pick. Like, super close. The odds, pick them. That's right, because both these guys have a lot going for them, and they're very similar if you look at, like, everything pretty much. Arroyo, 30 years old. Muniz, 29. So the age is essentially the same. Experience does favor Muniz, but Arroyo definitely experienced himself coming off a nice win in the contender series over Steven Regman. 5-fight win streak for him. Muniz coming off a win on contender series over Taylor Johnson. 4-fight win streak for him. Close fight, Cole, honestly. Super close. I think I've seen a little bit more of Arroyo that I like, so I'll pick him. But this is a coin flip fight and not a fight that I think you should bet on because I think it's super close and go either way. All right, next up we have a lightweight battle between Charles Oliveira and Jared Gordon. And honestly, Cole, I'll hear your thoughts on this one in a sec, but I'm scratching my head about the match picking here. Oliveira open minus 335, Gordon plus 245. Right now, Oliveira minus 355, Gordon plus 295. Who's your pick?
Why is Charles Oliveira not fighting ranked guys? Like, he's fighting a Jared Gordon, who was, if he lost his last fight, was cut from the UFC. Like, that's who he's fighting when he's ranked. I think he's ranked, what, 14th in the division?
Even ranked? Like, he should be ranked. I'm not even sure.
I think he might be at the bottom, 14 or 15, or he's like kind of in that 16, 17 range, but
he's 13. He's 13.
Like, I don't get the matching. There's no risk for Jared Gordon in this fight. If he loses, he was supposed to lose. If he wins, now he's a ranked fighter. Like, come on. But I think Charles Oliveira gets him down to the ground, submits him in the first round. But all of it, like, it's just dumb matching. I don't know why this fight's booked. Oliveira's going to get another win, get an extended winning streak, and he better fight someone in the top 10 next.
Yeah, I like Oliveira a lot in this fight. You know, Gordon is tough. Maybe that's what the UFC is thinking here, that he can just kind of out-tough Oliveira. I don't see it, though, Cole. Oliveira is so good. His ground game is incredible. Probably one of the best ground games in the UFC. And you know what's crazy, Cole? He's only 30. He's only 30 years old. He's actually younger than me somehow. He's been in the UFC forever. And he's got amazing wins in his career. He's on a nice win streak, 5-fight win streak. Won his last fight by 5 fights by stoppage. He has that one knockout over Nick Lentz and the 4 submissions. His last 1, 2, 3, his last 8 wins are by stoppage. This guy finishes you. He obviously doesn't have a great chin. He's been knocked out a couple times, but I just don't see Gordon finishing him. You know, he couldn't even finish Dan Moretko. I don't see him finishing Charles Oliveira. I like Oliveira a lot in this fight. I think he is a guy that, you know, people are going to parlay, and I can see why. I like the prop on the fight not going the distance, Cole. Minus 270, there is value on that. I don't see any way this fight goes the distance. These guys finished each other. They're just finishers. Either someone gets knocked out or submitted. I think Oliveira is going to be the one doing it. The odds are pretty good on that. Minus 270 fight not going the distance. That's my bet here. I like Oliveira to win by stoppage. Next up, we have co-main event of the evening, Shogun Hua against Paul Craig. Short notice fight for Paul Craig. He took the fight. He's filling in for who's he filling
Sam
in?
Sam Alvey.
Sam Alvey. There you go. And that fight, you didn't like that fight. We have opening odds were this Hua minus 215, Craig plus 165. Right now, we have Hua minus 270, Craig plus 230. Who's your pick?
I like Shogun Ruin. I think he's going to knock out Paul Craig. Paul Craig, he's been knocked out before, knocked out earlier this year, cold against Alonzo Manafield. Lost to Cleo Roundtree by knockout, lost to Tyson Pedro by knockout. It just, Shogun Rua obviously hasn't fought since December last year, but it was a very impressive win over Tyson Pedro, a guy so many people were high on. Everyone kind of expected Shogun to lose that fight. But I'm still high on Shogun. His only loss in the past, three, four years is to Anthony Smith. Like, he's still a high guy in the light heavyweight rankings. I think he's going to knock out Paul Craig here. And I wonder if this is it for him, though. It's in Brazil. Like, do you think this would be his last fight?
Shogun's a guy that never wants to retire. He's just one of those guys. He's like, he's 37, Cole, but he's really like 47 years old. He's taking so much damage. He just loves the fight game, man. I don't see him retiring. As far as my pick goes, I love Shogun in this fight. You know, I think the odds are pretty much bang. I think it can be even higher, to be honest with you. They definitely open too low. I see some people on Paul Craig. I don't see why. Shogun, who is just a better fighter. Way more experienced, Cole, way better wins, huge knockout power. His ground game is pretty solid. Paul Craig wins the fight on the ground. I don't think Shogun is going to be able to get taken down here by Craig. Craig's not really a wrestler. If the fight goes to the ground, he can submit you, but he's not really a guy that will wrestle you to the ground. He's the kind of guy that kind of lands there. I know he has a good ground game. We all know that. His submissions are really good, but I don't see it working against Shogun, Cole. And this guy's someone that's been finished a bunch of times by knockout. Shogun Hua, my first round knockout's my pick, Cole. I really like Shogun in this fight. The prop on Shogun inside the distance, minus 140. I think he wins by stoppage in the first round. So that's my pick. Finally, main event of the evening. I love this matchup. Jan Błachowicz against Ronaldo Jacare Souza. Main event of the evening. 205-pound fight. Souza moving up. Opening odds, minus 185 for Błachowicz, plus 145 for Souza. Right now we have Błachowicz minus 190, Souza plus 165. Who's your pick?
I'm really like Jan Błachowicz in this fight. I don't think the extra 20 pounds will do Souza favors. I don't think he's going to get Jan down. I think Jan's going to be too big to get taken down. And if he gets taken down, like, he has really good jiu-jitsu game. He's submitted a lot of people. I think on the feet, Błachowicz's power will be too much for Souza, and I think he's going to TKO him in the second or third round.
I love this fight, Cole. You know, both guys – if Błachowicz wins in the first round, I think he could possibly get the title shot. It just depends how impressive it is. He goes out there and head kicks Souza. He might be able to jump in line for that title shot. The guy is definitely dangerous. He's a good fighter. He's got good striking, good takedown defense. He's a very strong guy, a big dude, 6'2", 78-inch reach. But I don't think people should sleep on Souza here. I know he's a little bit older, 39. Błachowicz 36. So they're both older, but Souza's obviously kind of – you would think it nearing the end of his career. I know he hasn't looked great lately, but Cole, but I still love Souza, man. The guy is so dangerous. In my opinion, Cole, the best fighter to never fight for a UFC title ever in UFC history. Never fought for the title. Crazy. If he goes in there and wins this fight in impressive fashion, if he submits or knocks out Błachowicz, he could jump in line too. So this is an interesting fight. I feel like the UFC was waiting for this matchup before they determined who was going to be next for John Jones. You know, Cole, I'm actually going to go with the dog here. I know it's crazy because Błachowicz has looked really good. He's the bigger guy, more proven at 205, but I like Souza a little bit. I think as a dog, he's got some value here, personally. The guy's got great striking. His ground game's absolutely amazing. Good wrestling, a pretty good chin for the most part, good cardio. I know the fight with Hermanson wasn't a great fight. It was a bad performance by him. I'm not going to write him off after one bad fight. My pick, Souza, to win this fight. I think he'd actually finish John Błachowicz. I know it's crazy to think that, but that's just kind of what I'm thinking here. I wouldn't be surprised if he loses, though. He's a dog for a reason. So my pick, Souza, to win the fight. Any other thoughts on this card before we move on to the next one?
No, it's kind of weird they have this one and they have the 2-week break in a row. I think it's kind of weird for the UFC to go 2 weeks in a row. I don't know why they would have put a card like end of November or something, then take a week break and put it in the summer, put it somewhere else. They have like 9 straight weeks.
Yeah, it is a little strange, but you know what, Cole? I think all of us need a break. Like, I just kind of wish it was only 1 week, but hey, it is what it is. All right, I want to tell people that are watching right now, feel free to send a question in. We'll answer the question at the end of the show if you have one. So throw them in there in the chat. We'll definitely see them and answer them. We're going to go talk about Bellator right now, Bellator 234. This thing actually takes place Thursday, so it'll be on tape delay. Cole, talk about that while I pull the odds out.
Why is Bellator doing tape delay in 2019? It's the stupidest thing. Live sports is the dumbest thing to tape delay, because then when outlets in Israel are going to put out the results, all the American sites are going to pick it up, and then everyone's going to get mad that the fight got spoiled for them. Well, that's Bellator's own fault for doing tape delay. You have DAZN for a reason. Stream it on DAZN Live, and then if you want, you can still do a tape delay on Paramount Network, but don't only do tape delay.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. It's ridiculous. Okay, so anyways, let's talk about this. Cole, we have odds. We have odds. Crazy enough. We actually got the Bellator odds out somewhat early this week. All right, let's talk about these. There are 4 fights that have odds. Middleweight bout, Austin Vanderford, Mr. Van Zandt against Gragic Bozanin. Opening odds had Vanderford -565, Bozanin +375. Right now, the odds actually shift a little bit towards Vanderford -650. Bozanin +420. That's who's your pick?
I like Austin Vanderford here. I don't know why Bellator is kind of given that like MVP style matchmaking where he's fighting guys no one really knows. Like, give him the step up. Like, he's proven on the Contender Series, he's proven in his whole career that he can fight the top guys. Give him someone like John Salder. Give him someone like Costello Vancinas, like just happened last week. Like, even if you give him Costello, he's coming up the loss. Like, Vanderford needs to step up a competition. No one cares to see him fighting these fights that are set up for him to win.
Yeah, this is another setup fight for sure. Vanderford, undefeated prospect. People want to hate on him because his wife's Paige Van Zandt. I think the guy's a really good prospect, personally. I don't know too much about Bozanin, you know, so that's why I would be somewhat hesitant about throwing a -650 favorite to a parlay. I know everyone's going to do it. I get why. But, you know, this guy, he does have some finishes cool in his career. Who knows? I mean, he goes in there and knocks out Vanderford. We haven't really seen Vanderford tested against someone with power like this. So I don't know. My pick's Vanderford. I'm not going to overthink it. I think he wins by stoppage, but I just don't know if really throwing a -650 parlay against a guy you've never really seen fight is a smart idea. Next up, we have a women's, I think, featherweight bout, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Olga Rubin against Sinead Kavanaugh. Opening odds had Rubin -350, Kavanaugh +250. Who's your pick?
I like Olga Rubin here. I've just been way more high on her. She's coming out the loss to Julia Bowder. She didn't look that impressive. But Sinead Kavanaugh is a 5-4 fighter. 2 straight losses to Jeanette Harding and Leslie Smith. She hasn't looked that impressive. I think Rubin in Israel, where she's from, going to get a nice rebound win after the title fight loss.
Yeah, Rubin fighting, I think, in Israel is going to really help her for sure. She's fought in Israel a few times and has looked really good. I know that she lost a bud, but come on, Cole, that was a fight that really should have been booked. Didn't have enough experience for that fight, so not surprised she lost. Before that, looked okay. Kavanaugh has really struggled. She's 1-4 in her last 5 fights. Just really hasn't looked good. And, I like Rubin here, but again, it's kind of crazy odds. Although Bellator, let's face it, most of the big favorites do usually win. Another huge favorite here, Cole. Oh my God, -810 for Sydney Outlaw against Roger Huerta +470. I mean, who's your pick, and do you think there's any value in Huerta as a massive underdog?
Look, Sydney Outlaw is good. He's on a huge winning streak. The UFC, I think, really missed a chance at signing him after the Contender Series. Like, they signed so many guys that don't have good fights, but they get a finish because Dana White's all about the finish. Outlaw didn't get a finish, but he dominated that fight, and he's one of those guys that's UFC caliber. And I think that's just Dana White's stubbornness, basically being, if you don't finish a fight, you're not getting signed. But why in any world is Sydney Outlaw a -800 favorite against anyone? I know Roger Huerta's been on a losing streak. Lost 2 in a row, but look who we lost. We lost to Patricky Pipple and Benson Henderson. Those are 2 of the top guys. I don't know if Sydney Outlaw is that. I like Outlaw in this fight, but no way there's any value putting him at -800.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't get it either. It's too high. You know, this is actually somewhat of a step up, if anything. I mean, Roger Huerta, yeah, he's old and he's not the same guy he once was when he was like one of the top prospects in the UFC lightweight division, but still an extremely experienced guy. Cole, fought everyone in the lightweight division all over the world. He's got like 36 fights. This is 37th fight. So he's got a ton of fights. And lost 16 fights, so huge experience at Tuerta. That's enough for me to stay away from this. I wouldn't bet minus 810. Would I put money on Huerta as a dog? Probably not. But I think there's more value on Huerta as a dog at plus 470 than Outlaw. You know, I think some people, if they have some like pocket change, want to throw it on Huerta. I don't think that's the worst bet in the world. You just want to make the card a little bit more interesting if you're watching it. But yeah, my picks to the Outlaw call. I don't overthink it. I'm just saying I don't think the odds are right here. They're way too high. Finally, we have main event of the evening, Sergey Kharitonov against Linton Vassell, heavyweights. Kharitonov minus 270, Vassell plus 190. Who's your pick?
I like Sergey Kharitonov. I think he's going to knock out Linton Vassell. I've been very impressed with Kharitonov. Vassell's coming off three straight losses, lost to Bader, Davison, Valentin Matavsky. He's moving up in weight. Kharitonov, I think, should have been fighting Bader for the heavyweight title next. I'm surprised this fight's booked, but I think this is going to be another win. He just coming off that win over Matt Mitry on the knockout win, which is impressive. I think he's going to do the same to Linton Vassell with a second round TKO.
Yeah, I like Kharitonov too, no doubt about it. The guy's a very impressive fighter. Huge knockout power. He's looked great lately. Mitrione, Nelson, good wins there, Cole. Experience fall over the world. Just a big puncher. Linton Vassell moving up heavyweight. I don't think he's fought heavyweight before. I guess his last fight was, but didn't look too good against Lodovsky. This guy at one point actually looked like a pretty good prospect, Cole. I just think he's kind of lost it a little bit along the way. So my picks, Kharitonov. I think he wins in the first round by KO. And that's my pick for that. So I picked all the favorites, though, Cole, but you know, the odds are a little crazy. So some people might want to be tempted to throw all four favorites in the parlay. I don't necessarily think it's a terrible bet. I just think that there is a chance one of these guys is going to lose. And that's the problem when you just blindly put chalk in the parlay. Actually, I'm just going to see what the odds are if you do parlay all four favorites. Although, again, I think the odds are a little crazy. Kharitonov, Outlaw, Rubin. And then, for, my God, you have to get all four right just to get plus 128 odds. It's like, it's not really worth it, you know? Go look at the UFC card and see if there's a pickup fight you like better. All right, let's talk about a few other things going before we get out of here. UFC Moscow, I did break down the fight, the whole fight yesterday on my podcast, but I want to talk about a little bit with you. Zabib versus Calvin Kattar. Now, it won fight of the night. I disagree with that, Cole. I thought that another fight should have won fight of the night, Ed Herman versus Kattis Ibrahimov. What are your thoughts on that? Because I personally think that the fight was good. I just don't think it was great as I expected. And you think Zabib's going to get a title shot?
Yeah, I think Ed Herman should have got the fight of the night. I think that was a better fight to watch. And I don't think Zabib's going to get the title shot. I think Zabib needs to prove he can go five rounds. He looked gassed after second, third round. If you do that against Max Holloway, you could win the first two rounds against Holloway, which Zabib could, but if you gas after two rounds, Holloway's going to come on strong in third, fourth, fifth, and probably TKO you. Volkanovski has good cardio. Like, he's proven again. He went three hard rounds against Mendez and didn't look tired at all. Aldo, too, sorry. Like, he's proven he can go three hard rounds and push a heavy pace, which I think if you lighten the pace, I think he can easily go five rounds, but I think Zabib needs someone else. Maybe do that Yair Rodriguez fight. Maybe do someone like Brian Ortega, Chan Sung Jung winner. There's options for Zabib, but I don't think he gets the next title shot.
It's like the more I see of it from Zabib, the less I like about him. I don't know. I'm not as sold as him as I once was. When he came to the UFC and he had those first couple wins, I was like, man, this guy is going to be a title challenger and probably win the belt. But now that I've seen him fight like a step up against Stevens and Kattar, I wasn't too impressed. Even the Kyle Bochniak fight, Cole, he really faded in that last round. That really worries about me. I don't like the UFC giving title shots to guys that haven't fought five rounds. And this is a guy that hasn't fought five rounds yet. I think if he does fight Max, I think he gets broken in the fourth and fifth round. If he fights Volkanovski, I think Volkanovski could push him hard at that pace like you talked about. So the guy's talented, don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, he's held back a little bit in his last few fights. I think he can show more. But the lack of cardio really concerns me going forward against elite competition. So the guy is definitely solid. Don't get me wrong. He's got a well-rounded game, great submissions, great striking. But there's just something missing about his game. And I think it's the cardio, Cole. And I don't think he can go the full distance. I think if he goes to the fourth round, I think he'll get finished personally. So the guy's talented, but I wasn't too impressed by this fight. And, you know, quickly before we get to the next one, Kattar, I feel like this was a missed opportunity for him, Cole. Like, I just didn't see that urgency and aggressiveness out of him that I saw in the last fights against Ricardo Lamas and Fish Gold. I don't know what you thought about his performance, but I just wasn't too impressed by his performance.
Yeah, he was just too gun-shy, I think, in the first round to pull the trigger. And then as the fight went on, this late second and the entire third round, he's like, oh, like, my striking is better than Zabib. Like, I can do some damage here, but it was too late because Zabib already won the first two rounds.
I agree with that. Okay, so next fight, heavyweight, Alexander Volkov. Not surprisingly, defeats Greg Hardy by decision. I think most people have saw that coming. Okay, so first off, I got two questions about this. Volkov, Francis Ngannou called him out. Do you think the UFC makes that fight? Do you think they book it as the main event of UFC France 2020?
It's interesting because Volkov and Dos Santos said they want to rebook that fight. So it's going to be interesting to see what the UFC does, because I would rather see Dos Santos Volkov, in my opinion, because I think Volkov is too much of a step down for Ngannou. But it's weird because Ngannou doesn't have anyone to fight. He's kind of in this weird thing where he's beat a lot of the guys below him, like he's beat Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah.
One fight I think of, and I maybe you do the Derek Lewis rematch and hope it's better than the first fight.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only one that really makes sense. And, you know, I actually had Derek Lewis as a big dog in that one. I wouldn't pick him in the rematch. I would pick Ngannou, but maybe the fight would be better this time around. I don't know.
Well, especially because Lewis was so scared because his back, and he's saying now that he's lost weight, his back's not hurt, and Ngannou has that confidence back. Like, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see. I mean, that might be the only fight right now that could actually be booked, because it looks like he'll be waiting a while for that title shot. My other question for this fight, Greg Hardy picks up the loss, 2-2 and 1-0 contest in the UFC. However, five fights in the year 2019. Put aside his domestic violence past, what were your thoughts on Greg Hardy as an MMA fighter in 2019?
I had mixed thoughts. I think he has a lot of knockout power. He's obviously an athletic freak from the NFL, but if you look at his wins, there Juan Adams was a good win. I picked Adams in that fight. I thought Adams was too much of a step up, and that was a really impressive win. But his other win, Dmitry Smolyakov, that was a guy the UFC purposely picked, signed after cutting him to fight Hardy. And then obviously the DQ in his first fight, that was just not knowing the rules enough. Then obviously the inhaler, not knowing the rules enough. I think he has some good skills. Like, his striking is very impressive. His takedown defense, from what we've seen, is impressive. I just think this was a growing year for him. I think he'll be better next year, but it's interesting to see what he is, because obviously the Volkov fight was too much of a step up. So I want to see him. Everyone was clamoring to see him ranked opponents. I don't think he gets another ranked opponent. I think you got to fight someone in that like 16 to 20 range and see what he does from there. But it's going to be interesting to see what the UFC does and what they match him up with next year.
Yeah, you know, just purely as an MMA fighter, I mean, I think he had a decent rookie season. 2-2-1 is not bad. Like, really is 3-2. And the fight with Crowder, that could have been a win too. I mean, if he didn't screw up. So I think he did learn on the job a little bit. We have to give him that. You know, like I said, I talk about Greg Hardy a lot, and I know why people hate the guy, and I get that. I just think you got to look at things objectively a little bit as just an MMA fighter. The guy's not bad. You know, he's not as bad as we all thought. As far as who he goes with next, Cole, what about Mo Green? What do you think of that fight, Cole?
Yeah, see, that's a fight. Like, that's on, like, in that 16 to 20 range. That'll be perfect for Greg Hardy.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, he's ranked number 15.
Sure.
And I guess really, it's a step down from the number 6 guy. You could also do that Tai Tuivasa fight that you talked a little bit about that you said you liked a little while ago. So maybe that one. But yeah, you know, Greg Hardy's here to stay. I mean, better or worse, the UFC likes the guy. He brings in eyeballs. People talk about him. Let's see. What else on this card? Just a few other things here. Again, I've talked about it, but. Talked about the Ed Herman fight. Danny Roberts, nice knockout. Rocco Martin, nice win there. Magomed Ankalaev, great win for sure. David Zawada, nice win. Actually, how about this one? Carl Robertson fought Roman Kopylov. I don't know if you watched this fight, Cole, the third round, the eye poke. Robertson said he couldn't see the referee and the doctor let him continue. How maddening is it seeing the inconsistencies between these commissions? Like, the Nate Diaz fight where he's like, I want to fight and I can see, and they don't let him fight. And then this guy says he can't see and they still let him fight. Just crazy, right?
Yeah, and his eye was bleeding. Like, right when you see, I know it was his eyelid, but right when you see that, you got to be like, you're done.
Like, fight should have been stopped for sure. Yeah, I'm with you, Cole. It should have been stopped. Like, I know he got the win anyways. He would have won the fight, though. It would have went to the scorecards. He was done 2 months. So it would have been a tactical decision, and he would have won 2018 on the scorecards. He won the first 2 rounds. So, yeah, I think it should have went, but it's what it is. And anyone else on the card you want to talk about?
Just David Zawada, obviously. That was a huge win over Nurmagomedov. Looking back, I don't know why Nurmagomedov was a huge favorite, because even in PFL, he didn't have a lot of success. I think a lot of people were so high on him just because of the last name. But I don't know. Zawada, it was a huge win for him because that kept his UFC job. And it's going to be interesting what the UFC does with Nurmagomedov now.
Yeah, I'm with you. The guy got some deficiencies in his defensive grappling for sure. And honestly, Cole, only a 1-1-1 record. So I'm with you. Like, maybe he's a little bit overpriced coming to the UFC. All right, let's talk about Bellator 233 quickly. Main event of the evening, John Salter defeats Costello Venstinus. Do you think Salter gets a rematch with Lovato Jr. once the Misasi fight's done with?
I think he could. I think he deserves it. He's on a big winning streak in Bellator. His only loss in Bellator is to Lovato Jr. It's a fight. He wants to get back. I think it makes sense after you do Misasi, but it's going to be interesting because he's up there. But Bellator's middleweight division is kind of doesn't have a whole lot of big names. So I don't know who else he would fight. So he's kind of right there to fight the winner of Lovato Musasi.
Andrew Capel defeats King Mo by knockout. King Mo retires. 4 straight knockout losses, Cole. Do you think he made the right call? And what do you think about Andrew Capel's performance?
I don't think King Mo should have even came back for this fight. I know he said he just didn't feel right not retiring with Scott Coker, giving Scott Coker help him build his career. But this was a setup fight. They found a 35-year-old from the regional scenes or 30-something from the regional scene that's never fought in any big promotion to fight King Mo. This is a setup fight for King Mo to go out on top, and he gets caught and gets knocked out. It's good for Andrew Capel. He's going to have a lot of hype behind him. He signed a 3-fight deal with Bellator. So Bellator is probably going to keep him around. They can market him as the guy that knocked out King Mo, but I want to see more from him. He didn't look too impressive in the fight until he got the knockout punch. It's going to be interesting to see what Bellator does with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I was impressed by his performance, but King Mo definitely at the end of his career, and I think he definitely I'm with you, Cole. I think he should have hung up his glove. I think he did retire before the last fight against Yuri, and then he came back for this one. He wanted to get a win and go on the top, but it's very rare, Cole, that guys go on top. Chris Liddell's one of the few guys that, you know, got the knockout or got a submission over Dan Hardy and finished his career. Very few guys get to go on top. GSP is another guy. Very, very few. So not surprised, but overall, I think a very good career. Big John was calling him a legend, saying he's a legend of the sport. What do you think about that? I don't really agree with that.
I think it's borderline. I think if you talk to fighters will say he's a legend just from what he's done. If you talk to media and fans, I think that's where some will say he's a legend, some will say he's not. I don't know. He had a good career, Strikeforce champ, won a Risen tournament, but he never had that huge reign as a title champion, ever had. Never won the Bellator belt. I think he's a step below legend.
Yeah. I'd say, again, another one of those guys that would go in the Hall of Very Good, but not in the Hall of Fame. Arlene Blencow wins against Leslie Smith. Disappointing loss for Smith there. Tyrell Fortune defeats Azuna Anonwu. How close is Fortune to getting a title shot at heavyweight?
Well, heavyweight doesn't have a whole lot. Given they just did the tournament, they're looking for challengers. I think Caratano is going to be next. Maybe you give Fortune like a guy like Yavi Ayala if they don't try to book Ayala. Maybe they don't do the trilogy with Ayala, and then, or they do not the trilogy, but the third time booking it. Maybe they do like Czech Congo. I think he needs to step up in competition to see how good he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anything else in the prelims? Is Tyree Fortune, that's Tyrell's brother, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Logan Storley, he gets the win. Julius Anglicus, Kyle Kruckmer. Did you watch the prelims? I didn't watch the prelims.
I didn't.
No worries. I think you covered the card, right? So that's why I was asking. Nick Diaz. I talked about this on my other podcast today. My God, man. Poor guy. He needs to get help. I mean, really. I don't want to see him fighting again, Cole. Do you?
No, and I don't know. I get Nick Diaz is a big name, but and a big interview. No one's heard from him, but I think ESPN, I don't know if they should have released that. Like, what kind of person has a taped interview for an hour and 40 minutes? They edit to cut it down and still go, yeah, we should send this out. Like, I don't think they should have sent it out. Even if you lose the connection with Nick Diaz for Ariel, like, I don't know. It was really hard to see. Like, the guy's obviously suffering from brain damage. I think a lot of people on Twitter were saying CTE. I think that is possibly a case, but I don't want to see him fight after watching that at all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I'm not interested either. Calls out Masvidal. Doesn't make sense. It's crazy. They were supposed to fight at UFC 235, Cole. He's saying that he has no idea why or when that fight was announced. I'm pretty sure the UFC announced that fight, Cole. He was on the poster. Well,
no, Brett Okamoto announced it by Dana White. So
there you go. There you go. UFC's mouthpiece. Anything else you want to talk about? Well, okay, all right. Now, I didn't talk about this in my podcast, and a lot of people they're not too big of fans of this fight or this guy. But I got to ask you, since you watched it and you covered this fight, Logan Paul versus KSI, thoughts on the fight? Who do you think won the fight? Guys, we got to talk about it for a second.
Oh, I felt so bad watching this. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I don't know. I thought KSI won 4-2. So I don't know how. And then the 2-point deduction. I had him 48-44 with the 2-point deduction. I don't know how anyone thought Logan Paul won. Like, basically, like, I don't know how you could have thought Logan Paul won the fight, because all he did was just avoid punches, but he didn't throw anything. So even if he avoided like 50 punches and KSI still landed 10 and Paul landed 0, I'm giving the round to KSI because he was the one that landed. He was the aggressor. It was not a good fight, but did you see what Eddie Hearn came out and said? Eddie Hearn DAZN came out. This is how big it was. It did more pay-per-view buys in the UK than Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz, and it is the most watched boxing fight on DAZN in their like a history. So it did more than Canelo Kovalev. It's done more than any DAZN boxing fight.
Crazy, man. I mean, people are going to hate on these guys, but they made money. You know, and DAZN, they did really well. I saw the school salaries call, $900,000 a piece. That's pretty good for those guys. KSI doesn't want to have the rematch, the trilogy fight. He says he wants to see CM Punk fight Logan Paul. And Logan Paul says that he's open to it. He's not 100% sure what he's going to do next. But now we do have actually odds opened up today for CM Punk versus Logan Paul on MMA. CM Punk open -225, Paul +175. Do you think this fight actually happens? Do you think it happens in the UFC? And what do you think of the odds?
I hope it doesn't happen. I think Logan Paul is a much better MMA fighter than he is a boxer, because I think he was a state champion or came second in Ohio in high school. Obviously, he's a good wrestler. You don't know how much of the wrestling he's retained, given he's now in his middle 20s. CM Punk didn't show much in the UFC. I hope it's not a fight the UFC makes, but if you do it outside of the UFC, maybe do some promotions, try and get eyeballs, it makes sense. But I don't think, no way a local promotion would pay enough for CM Punk and Logan Paul to put that fight on. So I think it's UFC or bust, and I don't think it happens in the UFC.
We'll see. I mean, they gave CM Punk 2 fights. Like, Dana White's open to making money, and I think it's possible. Tyson Fury is another guy they're talking about. You know, he's been training with Darren Till. I don't know if you saw the video. Listen, he's just hitting pads. He looked good, though. And Darren Till's saying he's a dangerous guy. He's only 31. There's a lot of heavyweights in MMA that have made the transition at a later stage. Greg Hardy had no experience. He's fighting the top 15 guys now, top 10 guys in the UFC. I think Tyson Fury beats a lot of the guys in the UFC right now. I'll be honest, Cole, because he's just such a big puncher and such a tough dude. I know his wrestling, I don't think he's ever trained. Maybe he has, I don't really know. But do you think he's seriously considering this? And do you think that it's possible? Because now we have Stipe Miocic calling him, and we have Francis Ngannou calling him.
I don't know why he would be interested. You're in the UFC, you're going to make, what, 500 grand? Yeah. Boxing, you're making 30 million. Like, it makes no sense for him that Deontay Wilder rematches there in boxing. You can fight Joshua Ruiz. You can fight. There's so many fights are in boxing. And he can have one boxing fight and probably make more than 5 UFC fights if he were to do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you know what, Cole? I'm not writing this off. I think it actually has more legs than I thought at first. I think there's a chance this could happen. And I don't know if you saw this out today, but Tyson's Fury dad called out Dana White for talking smack about Tyson. So big John Fury wants to fight big bad Dana White. Anything else you want to talk about, man? Anything we missed? Any fight announcements? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered everything. That's all I want to cover. Just Bellator and the UFC.
Yeah, I'm just checking to see if we missed anything here.
Well, actually, I just want to touch on one thing. I know you touched on your podcast. What do you make of the UFC just sending out one tweet saying go to Rally at the end of November or the end of January, but they have nothing on the first quarter schedule? Like,
it's weird.
I don't know. Normally, I thought they'd always do it on TV. They announce like 3 months. It's kind of weird. They're just sending out a tweet that just said we're going here. Like,
yeah. Going head-to-head with Bellator, the cyborg card. I mean, I'm not surprised by that. They obviously want to steal views from that. But I think that it kind of sucks for MMA fans. I think they want to see both fights. I don't like when they go head-to-head. I know it's going to happen at some points, but this didn't really have to happen in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. Cool. I mean, that's just a fight night card. It's in North Carolina. Stephen Thompson's from close by, so maybe he headlines that card against someone. Not too sure, but got one comment here. Garrigory's literally fought no one. Yeah, I know. It's true, man. He's really fought no one. He's got a good record, though. But, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think that's it, Cole. So if you want, go ahead and plug anything you want, and I'll plug my stuff as well. Oh, actually, really quickly. Looks like Dana White is interested in the Yoel Romero Adesanya fight. So I just saw that. He made a comment to Kevin Ioli that they're going to probably do that fight. So there we go. We got most likely Adesanya versus Romero. I'm fine with it, Cole. I'm fine with it, man. I know that he's coming off the losses. I don't care. I think it's just a good fight, an interesting style matchup. So I don't know. Give your thoughts quickly and then plug your stuff. We'll get out of here.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. Obviously, everyone says Adesanya doesn't have good takedown defense. It's going to be tested real quick against Romero, I think. And Romero's a hard puncher, and he doesn't go away. So it's going to be interesting to see how Adesanya handles that. It's a good fight. It's a fight a lot of fans want to see. He's coming up two losses, which makes it hard to sell. But I think it still sells, and it's going to be interesting. I think Cannonier was the next guy, but I think he needs a win. Give him, like, Whitaker or something. If he gets over Whitaker, he deserves the next shot. But yeah, it's an interesting fight. I'm glad they're doing it. But just my stuff, Twitter at ColeShell91. This week I talked to Kevin Lee. That's up about what he wants next. Last week I had something up with Johnny Walker. It was about his loss. It was really opening. He basically said he was going through a lot of stuff. Like, he was sad. He was away from his family. He just wasn't focused on fighting anymore. But and this week I just don't. I talked to Jan Blachowicz. That's the only interview I did for this card. It was hard to get a lot of people. A lot of people are Brazilians. They don't speak English. So yeah, everything else is on my Twitter.
Sweet. Yeah. Thanks again for joining me, Cole. Always appreciate it, man. You guys can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. Also check me out at BJPenn.com, MMArates.net, and of course my home, MMAoddsbreaker.com, the home of the podcast, MMAoddsbreaker.com on YouTube. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it, trying to grow the channel, guys. Appreciate any subscriptions to the show and to the podcast and to the channel. Also check us out at iTunes, Anchor, SoundCloud, and a few other places. Cole, thanks again for joining me, man. Guys, I'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the show. Also check out today's morning edition where I talk about Nick Diaz's interview a little bit more. Guys, have a great day, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.